Double delight, four teams play twice. Are we cancelling Cancelo, uniting with United? And which single game weekers we're warning shouldn't be ignored? Hello, welcome along to the FPL podcast. And for us at least today is a little bit different because rather than all being at home, we're all together here in a studio in London. Sam and Jules, this is nice, isn't it?
That's so nice.
First time we've had you here with us.
Yeah, I mean, it's not if you're doing this every week either, but yeah, I'm so good.
And even more exciting today, we have an Olympic, European and Commonwealth champion with us, hockey player Shona McCallin joins us. And we are told, Shona, you're a big FPL fan as well.
I am a very big FPL fan. Not that good, but a big fan. Try hard.
Doesn't matter. Jules is proof that you don't need to be good to be an FPL player. Tell us, so your sport is hockey. How did you get into FPL?
I first started in the 2017-2018 season. One of the girls suggested that we set up a GB hockey league. And then since then, I've been a fanatic player. Started off not really understanding the rules. I remember my first season, I was just thinking it was unlimited transfers every week.
Oh, how many points?
A lot. But got better. Did win the mini league once. Came out of nowhere, a little bit like Leicester. Came out of nowhere and just won it right at the end. But hovering mid-table this season, so a bit disappointing.
So is it a big thing in your dressing room there? Do a lot of the girls play it?
There's a GB hockey league and there's about 11 or 12 of us, a mixture of current players, past players, and also one token male who's our old strength and conditioning coach. So it's pretty much try and beat Tom, who's the old strength and conditioning coach. So it's like 11 women against one male.
I was going to say, do you want to name any names as to any of the girls maybe that are good other than Tom?
Okay, so serial winner is Erica Sanders. So she's not in the squad anymore, but is often at the top. Kate Axford is also very good, but she did say that she gets all her tips from her boyfriend. So I think it's probably more him doing it than her. And then I've been in it a while. I'm quite a big tryhard, but not that good. Leah Wilkinson, I would say, is similar. She's not in the squad anymore, but tries hard, but doesn't really get that many points.
But you can now say you've been on the FPL pod.
That's bragging rights.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bragging rights. I'm really excited to be here.
Okay, let's talk a little bit then about the game week that was, I should also say the game week that is, because we are still midway through it. Of course, we're recording on a Wednesday, so we've still got a couple of League Cup games, which could, of course, have impact on our FPL teams, but also we could have more points ahead of us. Fulham versus Chelsea on Thursday night. Firstly, I'm looking at you, Sam and Jules. Sam, you were honest. You told us you were pressing that bench boost.
Sam said she might play the bench boost because, and she explained it right.
And
I just listened. I listened.
You copied me.
I listened. And then I thought, after a few days of reflection, I thought,
Sam's right.
That made a lot of sense, yeah.
Yeah.
So I did it too.
Didn't go very well though, did it?
He's just gone better than me, annoying.
Hey,
yeah, he's 10 got
points,
points,
and I still have Andreas to play on Thursday night.
Oh,
so
okay,
Andreas is going to score between 10 and 15. So my bench is going to be great.
Do you know what's really annoying is that I spent a lot of last week's pod talking about Tim Ream. I was going to get Tim Ream, definitely going to get Tim Ream. Somehow I end up with Luka Dean instead of Tim Ream.
That
was quite a big
happen?
Swing. I don't know, Kelly.
Just don't it's always just one go things, French. Just don't always go
well,
French.
Well, I was in my head, I was thinking Villa's fixtures more long term and nicer than Fulham. So maybe I go with Villa. They're going to keep a clean sheet. They did not. So the 2 points for Luka Dean instead of the 9 that Tim Ream picked up in the first match. And of course, he's got another one to come. Frustrating.
Okay, so other than your bench and your 10 points on your bench, who else has done well for you so far this week?
So talking about Aston Villa, I brought in Tyrone Mings.
Of course you did.
Yeah, which gave
right.
me a good assist, which I shouted at the screen.
I don't think
you
mentioned that either, did
no,
you?
No, he didn't.
Tell us
no,
but it came to me like in one of my sleep, Shona, like I
visualises
you know,
things.
Visualise,
yeah,
okay.
A lot.
He visualises and everyone's his best mate, you'll find out.
only the Paris born and bred like me.
Unless it's Harry Kane.
But Tyrone Mings, who I was gutted that they conceded a goal, but then gave that lovely assist for Danny Ings, of course. And I was said like, Tyrone, I love you so much. So he got me 7 points. Tyrone Mings, that is unreal. I didn't think. And then they've got good fixtures coming up as well. And then the usual ones, really, Mitrovic, who are captain. Harry Kane, of course, was wonderful. William Saliba, one of my boys, of course, you know, Paris born and bred. Kieran Trippier, then the usual ones. But I was so happy with Tyrone Mings, I have to be honest.
What about you, Sam? Who went right?
I mean, to be fair, I've actually had a really good week. I've massively improved my rank. I'm at 67 points for this week at the moment. Mason Mount's a frustration. I brought him in. He missed the first part of the double game week. I'm hoping he's going to start against Fulham and kind of bring me a wealth of points in that one. Luke Shaw, the standout, Rashford, both of them doing really good things. I was a little bit annoyed with myself because I really wanted to captain Rashford this week and I was so close to doing it and the Haaland fear absolutely got me and I moved the armband. She'd never moved the armband late on.
Oh, so you captained Haaland in the end, did
you? Yeah, because I didn't have Mitrovic. So I didn't have Mitrovic and I nearly made that transfer. I nearly went Darwin to Mitrovic. I probably should have done it, although of course Mitrovic is going to miss the game tomorrow night because he's picked up his fifth yellow card. So
big fear.
Yeah, but you know, I've still got Pereira, Mount and Kepa to come on Thursday. So it should be a really good week and it's boosting my rank nicely.
What about you, Shona? How did this game week go?
I did okay. Not as good as these guys, but I did okay. Luke Shaw.
You've done better than me. I can see your score from here.
Luke Shaw did well
really?
For me.
Oh.
Okay.
Captained Rashford. So as I said before, I'm near the bottom of the league. So I have to go a bit different on the captain. I thought he had a good fixture. So I was very happy when he scored. Still got Kepa, Cucurella and Andreas to go. So hoping for a few more points to up my current score of 52.
Yeah, 52 is better than what I got. I'm just having an absolute
don't
nightmare.
Don't tell me your tally because you never hear the
I don't
end
want to
of
talk
it.
About it. Let's move on. I was going to say my captain's still to play, but it is, of course, Mitrovic. I've got Andreas to play tomorrow night. Well, the good news as well, we've had a double this week. We've got a slightly bigger double next week as well. We weren't too sure if City versus Spurs would definitely go ahead as part of double game week 20, but it will. And also, we're going to have Crystal Palace versus Manchester United in double game week 20. That one will take place on Wednesday night. So, four teams double, Sam. And they're four quite appealing teams, aren't they?
Yeah, it's massively better, isn't it, than what we saw last time. I think we all struggled a little bit with Fulham and Chelsea because Fulham, it's Andreas, it's Mitrovic. If you want to go out there with Ream, you go out there with Ream. But there were kind of obvious picks. Chelsea less so because their form's been difficult. But you look at Manchester City, Spurs, Manchester United in particular of those four, they're all teams with big names that you can definitely invest in and actually look really nice. And you could easily double, treble up on those teams if you wanted to this week.
Jules, how are you feeling? Because we all knew that City versus Spurs was possibly going to be a double. When I built my unlimited transfers team, I was looking at trebling up on City. Unfortunately, one of my treble City players is Joao Cancelo.
Oh, yeah, mine too.
But now Manchester United doubling, that's appealing given the form they're in.
It isn't, because their second game is Crystal Palace as well. Because if you look at Spurs and City, they're tough. It's a very tough double game week. You play United and Spurs, you play Arsenal and City, of course. So if of course, Kane two games is always better than just one, and same for Haaland and same for the big names. But I think if you have to invest somewhere, it has to be a United player that you don't already have. So Rashford and Shaw, for example, if you want a third one, go for a third one. I don't know, Lisandro Martinez, for example, maybe a De Gea too, if you want, or you know, Casemiro, who's given an assist in the League Cup game as well against Charlton. So because, okay, City is tough, but the Crystal Palace game for this United team, 8 wins in a row now in all competitions, it's remarkable, really, the form that they're in, even if they don't always play great. I think go for, at least two, if you can, three United players.
Okay, let's start looking at all of these teams at double by focusing in on Manchester United. Jules has given us a few options there. You've already got Marcus Rashford and Luke Shaw. Shona, are you happy with those two? Are you going to be going for a third?
I do. Very happy with Luke Shaw and Rashford. I also have Martial.
Oh, so you're trebled up.
I am. But I'm thinking he's going to be on the way out after this double game week. Might swap him for Mitrovic now he's got his ban out the way. But definitely focusing in on that Crystal Palace game for the United lads.
How are you set up for the double overall? Who else have you got from City and Spurs?
So I've got Martial up top with double game week, also Kane and Haaland. So hoping for some
strong
goals.
You've got a double frontline, all of your frontline.
Nice. And I've also got Rashford and Shaw. So five players with a double game week. So looking for a big points haul.
Nice. Sam, before we come on to Man United and looking in on their assets, how are you set up as it stands for the double?
I got two from United, two from City, and the main man, Harry Kane, up top. So I've got five at the moment, one free transfer. So I'll have six going into the game week. Mm-hmm.
Manchester United wise, you've got Marcus Rashford.
Yeah, and Luke Shaw.
And Luke Shaw. And they're the two, aren't they? They're the standout ones. I almost feel like looking at the transfers in so far this week, it's clear that people are going to be going for them.
Yeah, I'm absolutely delighted. I mean, I bought both of those in during the World Cup, they were the two players that I was kind of like, they're going to be must-haves. These Manchester United fixtures are so nice. And we knew that there was a couple of difficult games to come for them in there, particularly the Manchester City one. But once you then add the double game week in, it's kind of like, well, these fixtures are really nice. And once you get beyond the difficult games that they've got in 20, we then get into a really nice run of fixtures again for Manchester United. So trebling up on them actually makes quite a lot of sense. As I said earlier, I brought in Mason Mount last week, bit of a punt, just for the double. That position was always going to swap to somebody for double game week 20 as well. I was kind of like, if Kulu's fit, maybe I'll go to him. Maybe I look at a Manchester City midfielder and engage in the Pep roulette some more. More on that later, I'm sure. But I'm actually looking at Bruno Fernandes now as a third Manchester United asset. I mean, he's got back-to-back assists in the last two game weeks. He's owned by like 3.3% of the game. So he's a real differential. He's got set pieces in his locker. I really do like what Ten Hag's doing at United. They're playing so well. So there is a part of me that thinks investing in the treble up of United, it's more certainty, isn't it, than you get if you look on the other side of Manchester.
It's funny, isn't it, how that one game, that addition of Crystal Palace next week has completely changed our thinking. Because otherwise, game week 20 would have just been a game against City, whereas now... Are we going to be looking at them for kind of captaincy options, or is that a bit much?
No, I think so. I think Marcus Rashford is certainly the one, really, if you have him or if you intend to bring him in your team, that has to be really your favourite to captain.
What's happened to him, Jules? Why is he so good at the moment? Because he scored again in the league.
I think he's very happy to play, which was not the case in the last 18 months. I think the work that Ten Hag is doing collectively, as Sam said, if you have a structure around certain players, I think it helps them massively in every team sport anyway. But I think that the way they're playing now helps him. The work that he does on his own with Benny McCarthy, who's the forwards coach at United now with Ten Hag. I think there's a very strong connection and relationship between Ten Hag and Marcus Rashford, which was the case with, not so much with Rangnick, with Solskjaer was, but not in this kind of way. And I think this is all paying off. I mean, work usually pays off in sports in general. So I'm glad, and it's just the confidence and the swag that he has now playing. He knows he's going to score. I mean, if you look at the game against Charlton, comes on, the first three balls that he touches, he loses the ball. And then the next two, he scores two goals. This is just the confidence and the momentum he has now.
Yeah, and it's interesting. He's got 27 points since the restart. As I said, he scored again in the Cup. Luke Shaw's got the most points from game week 17 to 19, and 32 of his 62 points have come since then. It's no surprise that he's the most bought defender as it stands. Well, we've said there's a few options there from Manchester United. We've said potentially you need to be having at least two from there. What about Manchester City?
I'm not going there with a Pep roulette. No. One of my best decisions after the break was to take out Cancelo.
Oh,
yeah. Cancelo. I did that. And
I've said it all season.
Oh, don't.
Yeah.
Shona, you've just allowed him.
Sorry.
Here he goes
he's
again.
One of my transfers
out
this week.
Number
You're
seven is going.
I'm going to bring Stones in for him. I need the money to be able to get to Harry Kane.
Well, you definitely need him.
So I'm going to go, I mean, no one cares about my transfers because I'm doing terribly, but I'm going to go from Darwin Nunez to Harry Kane, Cancelo to Stones. I'm taking a minus four.
That's what I've told Lee to
go. Reece James, who's still sitting as my third sub, to Luke Shaw.
It makes a lot of sense.
Strong.
Look, I mean, I've got
game week 20 if I got a strong team.
Better late than never, you know.
Yeah, she's got there in the end. Yeah. Cancelo, I've still got. I don't think I'm going to sell him this week, only because it feels really luxury. I'd have to take a minus four to do it. I don't feel like he won't start either game. I kind of feel like Pep might start him in one of them. I don't think they're going to...
It's the risk, Sam, isn't it?
It is, but equally, I don't think they're going to clean sheet in either of these games. Are they going to get a clean sheet against Manchester United or against Spurs? I just don't see it. So I kind of think, well, if he comes on for 20 minutes in both games and I get 2 points, it's not really worth a minus four to swap him for
don't
somebody
talk me
else.
Out of this because I need the money
yeah,
for
but
him
you
to get
need,
Kane.
But that's the thing is you need the money to do something that's going to benefit your team. Because having Harry Kane for that game week, I think, is almost as important as having Rashford.
Yeah.
So I can understand it from your perspective. Whereas I look at my team, I've got Harry Kane already. So what would I use the money for?
Yeah.
I can already afford to get Bruno if I wanted to. The only thing I can't afford to do is get KDB. So there's a conversation to be had there as to maybe if I downgraded him, I could then do that potentially. But I look at that City back line, I don't think they'll clean sheet. So if you're looking for some attacking returns out of the defenders, well, Cancelo probably is the one that offers the best attacking threat of the defenders.
He'll score this week.
If he's on the pitch, sell him, Kelly, sell him.
And Pep said in his pretty much press conference that he's got crazy ideas for this United game. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he was kind
he's
of cynical. Yeah, I don't know what was it, but we saw against Chelsea, which didn't work, and he had to change at halftime. Mm. But
and he apologised to Cancelo for that, didn't he? He said he
went
felt bad.
To like complete like back weird stuff, and you can't put it past him to do another weird thing against United that might work this time or not work, and he's going to change again at halftime. But so just be prepared, whoever you have in your squad from Man City, that Pep might do something even more crazier than usual.
I think when you buy a City asset, you almost know, don't you? You're buying them. So it is a bit of a lottery. You're buying it and you know you could get big points. You could get 1 point off the bench when they come on in the 73rd minute. Who are the safest options then? I'm presuming we don't need to have the conversation about Haaland.
No. I mean, even if he doesn't.
He had the rest in the cup as well. How good was
course,
that to see the rest
exactly
in the cup from an FPL point of view? It was like brilliant.
Massive. And KDB
there's
as
his
well.
Rest.
Yeah, KDB got the same. So even with those two, I think you're fairly safe. I think they play. And even if they don't, Haaland's not going to get no minutes across one of those games. These are the positive thing for us as FPL managers with this double game week is that Manchester United and Spurs are games they have to win. So they have to put out good, strong, solid teams. He can't just go, oh, I just play, you know, anyone under the sun. He's going to have to play like a serious, sensible team against both sides. Now, yes, he could play Alvarez instead of Haaland for a little bit, but I see that more as a kind of a, if they're comfortably beating one of them, he might bring them off. But I don't know that they will be. These are difficult games. So Haaland, KDB, I think you're safe with those. The question mark for me comes if you want to treble up, where do you go? Do you do what you're doing and stick with the defender, knowing that maybe there's not a clean sheet there? Or do you take a punt, buy the ticket and pick one of the other midfielders? Because I think that's harder. Like, do you, Mahrez is in phenomenal form. It's just like a complete change in him. Returns in all of the three matches since the restart, even when benched. Obviously got the two goals in the FA Cup as well, but played the whole match in the FA Cup. So do we see him get benched in one of them? Probably. I think you have to accept if you get Mahrez, you get a benching probably in one of them. Grealish was ill in the FA Cup. Is he fit? Is he available?
He could change the whole, apart from Haaland, he could change the whole, the rest of that front four from the United game to the Spurs game. So he could start with Grealish and Mahrez and then play Foden and Bernardo, for example, for the second game.
Pep, I interviewed him post-match on Sunday and he said...
Did you ask him?
No, I didn't say. Is he going to play one or two or neither of the games? Just tell us now. No, I said to him, what's different in Mahrez? What's, when he's that good, we know how good he can be, but why is that performance kind of coming now? What's changed? And he said, very cryptically, he knows why he didn't play in the first half of the season. This is him at his best. He is special. And he was kind of, he did that thing where, Jules, you'll have interviewed him before, where Pep keeps quite a straight face. But sometimes he can't help but smile. When you ask him about certain things, pre-match I asked him about when he won the FA Cup in 2019. And of course they beat Watford 6-0 that day. And he couldn't help, he was trying to keep a poker face, but he couldn't help but smile. The same when I asked him about Mahrez. That's what makes me feel, I don't know, this is why I'm not doing very well maybe. My heart is telling me that he is going to play a big part now.
Yeah, I was at the game as well on Sunday, although you snubbed me, I didn't see you there.
But,
I mean, it's not that easy to hide, but yeah, for sure.
She didn't even... deliberately. If you don't see someone, how do you snub them?
Because you knew I was, I'm sure you knew I was there. I knew you were there, but I looked for you around
disguise.
The... So you've got sweets.
Jules, just make your point about Mahrez.
Yeah. I saw him after the game, because he's one of my boys, Shona. We had Mahrez as a Paris
posted
born and bred kid,
of
course.
Kind of fist bumping.
He's my guy, and... The World Cup break did him a lot of good.
Did he tell you he was going to play both games?
He didn't. I don't think he... I mean, they don't know until the team talk before on the day of the game anyway. So, but I think he's one of them where maybe for Haaland, he was so impatient to play again that maybe, I don't know, but certainly for Riyad, that break did him a lot of good. And I think... not just physically to recharge the batteries and everything, but also to think about why he didn't play in the first half of the season, what went wrong. I think Kyle Walker playing is benefiting Riyad much more than a Cancelo or Stones or young Rico Lewis. So the return of Walker is massive. And I think, I agree with you, I think both of them will certainly play against United, Walker right back, and then Riyad as a right winger. I don't know about the Spurs game, but... Walker is a good shout.
I think Mahrez is a very good shout. Walker was exceptional on Sunday as well. I thought he looked like he had a point to prove.
Exactly. And I think that's why they would both start against United, I think.
look at this, Shona sitting here cool as you like. She's thinking, I don't need to worry about this because I've already decided I'm not going there. I'm not going to put myself through the pain of this City selection dilemma.
Right. She was thinking, oh, maybe,
she's not even tempted.
Maybe I should.
I'm not tempted. You know, Foden, Grealish, Mahrez, yes, you may get points, but you may also get a bench. Or you may get what I got when I brought Foden in before the break, three consecutive one-pointers. And I think I've been scarred from that. So as much as I'd like
enough.
To,
I
just think there's a high risk for benching there. So I'm not going there.
And that ends that topic. I wish I could channel some inner Shona here and do the same with my team. What about Spurs then? Come on, Sam.
You have to have Harry Kane, Kelly.
And on we'll go on to Palace. No, I'm joking.
I mean, I do think that Kane... my honest view on Spurs in this is that these are two very difficult games. They are, however, Jules, two games that we won last season, both of them.
True.
Do you remember?
And Kane usually scores in both those games.
We were both at the game.
Yeah,
Sam,
you're in an Arsenal sandwich.
I know, I'm in an Arsenal sandwich, but last year I did get bragging rights because we did both go to that game.
That's true.
Whether I get them this year or not remains to be seen. But, you know, I look at Spurs and we aren't playing well. There is no doubt about that. But we have had two good results back to back in the game against Crystal Palace where, oh my goodness, what did Conte say to them at halftime? Because it was like playing, it was the same players, but they were like a totally different team in the second half. And then obviously played well against Portsmouth as well in the FA Cup. So there will be some confidence that comes from that. But it's hard to pick other players from Spurs because there's a lot of injuries. So at the moment, I don't think you want a defender going into the game against Arsenal and Man City. I really don't. So who else do you go with alongside Kane? Will you maybe take a punt on Hill? Because he's probably going to play both if Kulusevski and Richarlison aren't fit. But that is a transfer waiting to happen after game week 20 because you're not going to keep him long term, which for me means that you go with Kane and that's it.
Wow, I never thought we'd be heading into a double
neither,
game week. And Sam would only
who
be talking
else would
up
you have?
On Spurs player.
I think the only one that you can think of is Højbjerg because he's guaranteed to play those two games. He's cheap. I mean, if you're looking for a cheap option somewhere, and he's been on great form. Mm. He scores. He certainly plays well when they play, when they actually attack as a team.
He plays
higher up, and that's when he scored. I think he can get bonus points as well because he's very much involved in, you know, in some of the games. So I think I agree with Sam in terms of Kane. He's the one. And if you really want another one, I think Højbjerg for me will be the one, really.
The only thing I would say is that if Conte comes out and rules Richarlison or Kulusevski fit for these games, then maybe there's a punt to be had because you know they're coming straight back in.
Do you punt on a double where it's Arsenal at home and Manchester City away though?
Well, I don't think you punt in terms of their ability to score in those games because, you know, like I said earlier, we did win both of those games last season. But I do think that, you know, Spurs can score in those games. And let's be honest, they're going to have to score because they're not keeping a clean sheet against either of those sides. So if they want to get points out of it, they're going to have to go forward and they're going to have to attack. Kulusevski and Richarlison are, outside of Kane, are best attacking assets and therefore they are the most likely to score goals if they're fit and available. Like, I don't think you can go with Son even after the, you know, iconic mask ripping off goal against Crystal Palace. I still don't think you can go there. He's still...
Well, too much money for what
too
he's
much money.
Yeah,
exactly. So I think it's Kane on his own unless Kulu or Richarlison is specifically said they are fit to play both games. And if Conte said that, then you could take one of them.
Am I right in saying that Harry Kane's only one yellow card away from suspension?
Yes.
We've been here before with Mitrovic, haven't we, heading into a double?
We have.
Does that concern you?
No, as long as he gets through the Arsenal
game. That was the least convincing no I've heard.
No, as long as he gets through the Arsenal game, we're past our 19th match. So then the fifth yellow card becomes 10 yellow cards. So as long as he gets through Arsenal, you're safe owning Kane. There is a slight risk that he gets booked against Arsenal, but he's cool as a cucumber, Harry Kane. He's not going to get
frustrated. It's the London Derby.
He's fine. He's fine, Jules. When he scored five goals in that game, he just go
that's
off.
Very true.
Sorry, I didn't want to put a downer on the whole thing, but I just thought I should mention that.
It's definitely a risk.
Yeah,
and it's,
for sure.
You know, we should all learn from the Mitrovic one, right? If everyone captained Mitrovic because he had the two games.
Also, the Mitrovic one, I just feel so stupid because we all knew it was going to happen. I was at the game before we headed into their double against Southampton and I sat there the whole game
stressed
in fear of whether Mitrovic was going to get booked, which is ridiculous, I'm aware. But and also every time he got into like an argument with the referee, I'm thinking he's going to get a booking here. He's going to. Yeah. He didn't. And then he gets it in the next game. But at least we got a goal out of him.
I mean, Kane won't get in an argument with the ref. So it's just going to be if he puts in a late tackle or takes his shirt off celebrating.
I was going to say, I mean, that London derby is.
He doesn't take his shirt off celebrating. No. Celebration is the same one. It's like his hair, you know, it's the same one.
He's chill.
Over, always.
That was me. In case you hear that, man, that was me. Kissing my ring.
I don't know. Look, I think it's a risk. I think if you captain him, it's a risk. But I don't think he'll get booked against Arsenal.
Sure, as an Arsenal fan, you don't allow Spurs players in your team.
And she's got Harry Kane.
I know she's got Kane because she has to, but like apart from Kane, I mean, and where do you stand in like, because sometimes we've had guests who said the heart takes over the brain in the game and they have to put players off the team they support.
Yeah, it was very tricky putting Kane in the team as an Arsenal fan, but with the double game week and because Darwin was not doing things for me.
Yeah.
He had to go and I swapped him for Kane because I had the money in the bank. So it does pay me to have him. I will not be captaining him because he's a Spurs player and hoping that he scores against Manchester City rather than against Arsenal.
Okay, interesting. Just a quick word. I know we're going through the teams at double. A word on Darwin Nunes. I've said already that I'm going to get rid of him, but I found it quite hard watching that Wolves game because that finish was a finish that he should have had multiple times in games where he would have got points for our FPL teams. Is he coming good? Is he coming good? That's wrong because he's getting in the positions and he's clearly a brilliant striker. Is he finding that clinical edge that we need?
I think the less time he has to think, the better finish it would be. And by the way, he shins it. It's not a world-class finish. It's a nice goal and the ball from Trent makes the goal. But Darwin shins the ball and the ball goes in.
But it was the same with Son's goal. In game week 19, wasn't it? Both of them.
No, but Rooney scores one of the greatest goals ever with his shin as well. This is not a problem. You score.
Doesn't matter
what
it comes off.
But it's more about the confidence that it brings them.
Yeah. To score, it's still not a perfect finish. And I don't think he will ever do a perfect finish. I just think that the less time he has to think, the better he's going to be. So
how can we tell his teammates to give him the passes that means he has less time to think?
They've got a pass the ball late.
Yeah. No through balls.
How can we sort this?
Because then through balls, the ball arrives and he's thinking, okay, they keep going, vamos, and then, you know.
I love it. That's what's actually going on in his head.
Of course it is. But everybody who's played the game, you know, that if you have 5 seconds to think before the keeper comes out, you think, okay, right, left, do I chip it? Do I go around him? If the ball comes and then you have to make a decision like this, it must be the same in hockey. It's just like beam and then that's it. And I think his instinct is definitely better than him thinking too much about it. It will come good. Already his record, if you look about it, if you look at it in all competition, is decent. I think he's got one more goal than Suarez in his first season after the same amount of game or the first 6 months. So it's not as bad as people make it out.
That's kind of why I don't want to say, is he going to come good? Because I think he has been really good. It's just a case of, is he going to score the goals that his positions that he gets in?
He's 100% going to score this week as well. You know that, because everyone's going to sell him.
Yeah. Jules has obviously given us a footballer's insight into him and needing less time to think. As an FPL asset, Sam, where do we stand on him?
I mean, I'm going to keep him because as good as Brighton are going forward, they are sloppy at the back and they will concede goals. So I think Brighton can win that game at the weekend, but I also think that Liverpool will score goals in that game. And I guess it depends on whether Darwin has too much time to think about the opportunities he's going to get or not. But I can see some confidence coming from the goal that he got in the FA Cup. And, you know, I've watched him so frustrated through game weeks 17, 18 and 19, kind of going, oh, come on, Darwin, like just one of them, just finish one of them and I'll be happy. So I can't sell him, you know, and I've also got Kane and Haaland and I'm not sure who else I would go to at the minute, but I want to give him this week because I do think, you know, Brighton defensively, you can get at them. They've not been so solid.
Yeah.
Kind of wish I hadn't had this conversation because now it's making me want to keep him.
But she's got to get Harry Kane, Jules.
No, just keep him. I'll keep Darwin.
Can you imagine next week, Jules, she comes on this pod with us and she's not got Harry Kane?
And Liverpool have Chelsea after Brighton. It's tough as well.
Literally, I'll be off the podcast sick. Someone else will be ill. Sorry, I've done the naughty thing there, really, of kind of diverting from where we were meant to go. I know we were talking about teams at double, but I just thought it was interesting because I'm making the Nunes to Kane transfer. And I just wondered how many other people will be. And actually, it's over 80,000 managers. So it's an interesting conversation as to where Darwin Nunes is in all of our thoughts at the moment. But let's cover off the final team that double then. Crystal Palace. I've not seen much talk about whether we should bring in Palace players, Shona. Anyone catching your eye? Are we missing a trick?
One player I did think about was Eze.
Yep.
But I haven't gone there. I've not been brave enough. I did have Zahara in the team, but he's gone because he wasn't giving much return. Other than that, for me, not really.
It's the inconsistency for me with Palace. One week they can be brilliant. Even since the restart, we've seen some really disappointing results. And then they go to Bournemouth and pull off that brilliant result. Is there anyone there for us in FPL, Jules?
I agree with Shona. I don't think so. I mean, yeah, you can, of course, and hope for Jordan Ayew goal somewhere, or Mikel Olise, who is brilliant like Eze, with an assist or something special. Or you go Gaeta and you just hope for bonus points for a goalkeeper, maybe one clean sheet, maybe loads of saves, maybe something that can get you 6, 7, 9, maybe 10 points. Even over the two games. I mean, again, let's repeat, it's Chelsea away and United at home. Mm. So they're two hell of a game. So yeah, I'm struggling to see really. I would not bring any of them, but yeah.
It's the Chelsea game, isn't it? The United game's difficult. Yeah. That's really hard. I can't see them getting anything like that. The Chelsea game is the one. It's a derby. It's London derby. Anything happened in London derbies. And Chelsea have been so poor defensively. They're all over the place. They've got so many injury problems. I don't really know what kind of team they're even going to put out in that if they don't get players back from injury. We'll see them a bit more against Fulham. But if they get a bad result against Fulham on Thursday night in the last game of game week 19... then could you take a punt on Eze, Elise, Zaha? I mean, look, they're all differentials pretty much. It's only Zaha that's owned by over 10% in that Crystal Palace team. So you could take a differential punt on them. Eze and Zaha are their top scoring players so far this season. They've got 71 points each. So they're not doing badly. I don't think you'd want them beyond the double game week.
That's the issue. You can get double game week fever, can't you? But you have to realise a player is... I'll just say for life, it's for the season.
And of course, if you get a City doubler, they're going to double again in 23. Yeah. So you've kind of got the longevity with them. With Manchester United, they've got games to be rearranged, but they've also got long-term nice fixtures. So you can see why you'd go there. You could sort of see it with Spurs if they have more players to invest in, why you might go there. But with Palace, it's like, I want them for 20. But then after that, I'm not sure.
Michael Olise, I should say, has got 4 assists since game week 10. So in terms of, I know that's still 6 game weeks where he hasn't got anything, but in terms of players that maybe are showing some form, if you want a cheap midfielder, then potentially Michael Olise is the way to look. Well, we've already kind of gone ahead and talked about one of the games where the teams only play once, Brighton versus Liverpool. But any other players and single game week teams that we shouldn't be ignoring, Shona? Because we all do this, don't we? We look at the fixtures, we see a player plays twice and we think we've got to have them, but we see it so often. Single game weekers probably are going to be the top scorers this week because they always seem to be, don't they?
Yeah, double game week fever is definitely a thing. I think the Newcastle defence, I've got Botman.
Have you got Trippier as well or just
I
Botman?
I haven't. And that was one of my... possibly worst ever fantasy football manager decisions was taking Trippier out. I think it was game week 10 or 11.
What possessed you?
I think he didn't return in maybe 2 or 3. And then I made an emotional decision and got rid of him. And then because I'm quite stubborn, I've just not brought him back. So it does pain me. And I don't think I can go double Newcastle defence.
Why not though? She could, couldn't she, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because Botman's really cheap and you could bench him in the weeks where they've got difficult fixtures. But, I mean, they are so solid right now. Yeah,
they were good again last night.
Yeah, they were great in the League Cup. Yeah, Dan Burn looking brilliant.
Bonus points for dance moves.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I look at Newcastle and I think, normally I hate the defensive double up. Right, I would normally sit here and go, no, you can't get me to invest twice. But with Newcastle...
it feels different.
It feels different because they're solid defensively, but it also feels different because if you look up top to the forward positions outside Almiron. Now, whether Almiron is still Almiron that we've loved for the last few months or not remains to be seen because we're not quite seeing the consistency we saw before the World Cup from him. But who else would you invest in outside of him? Because I don't think you're going to go with Isak or Wilson at the moment because Wilson's always got injury issues. Isak's on his way back. Joe Linton, I don't think you'd go there. Like, there's not a lot to double up with the Newcastle attack. So if you're not going to use your 3 Newcastle spots because you're doubling up in the attack, why not give yourself the opportunity for the double up defensively? Make Trippier a differential too, because Trippier's points, everyone's getting them, unless you're in the minority. But Shona's in a minority, right? Most people, you see the Trippier points and you go, great, no impact on my rank because everybody around me's got him as well. But if you play him with Botman, suddenly the rank boost is there.
There was, he called for the physio in the League Cup game against Leicester, Trippier, and I think the whole country, apart from Shona, everybody was just, no, please. And then he finished the game, did the post-match interview. It was all good.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. But yeah, Trippier is a guarantee, sorry.
Newcastle have got Fulham in game week 20.
They've got a really good run of fixtures.
So yeah, their fixtures actually are really good. They've got Fulham, then Crystal Palace away, West Ham at home and Bournemouth away before a few tricky ones. But there's four really nice fixtures. So Shona, if you are tempted, go on, don't be stubborn. You're missing out on some serious points.
We won't tell him. You know, if you bring him back, we won't say anything.
Who have you got that you could sell for him?
I don't think she actually wants to make a transfer. We're just making it.
I've already made my emotional transfer of Kane in and Darwin out. Right, after
that's a good transfer.
I know, but it was way before the FA Cup even started. So I was praying there was no injuries because I just quickly got him out because I'd had enough. So it would be a minus four hit. One thing I am looking at is maybe bringing Pope in because my goalkeepers are not. I've got Sanchez and Kepa from Chelsea. So that's why I was a bit reluctant to bring Trippier in. At the moment.
Fair enough as well. Pope is a really
maybe
good.
After this discussion, I might on the train bring Trippier in.
Okay, so Newcastle are a team that we shouldn't be ignoring. Who else, Sam?
Quite like the look of the Aston Villa Leeds game, you know. We've both invested in the Aston Villa defence. I'm not sure they're going to keep a clean sheet.
I need you guys to explain this one a little bit more to me because this has come from real left field, both of you investing in the Villa defence. I didn't see this one coming.
The new manager bounce is real under Emery. Like, it came from me watching them against Spurs, actually. I sat in the stands a couple of weekends ago and watched us get absolutely battered by Aston Villa and thought, what has happened here to Villa? And then I looked at the bench and was watching Emery and was like, okay, I'm starting to understand it. Like, they've got a really good manager and they're experiencing real new manager bounce under him. And I look at them and the team that they have. And, you know, if you roll back a couple of seasons, Aston Villa were excellent. It's the same players. So they're the same players that were there. There was, you know, some uncertainty at the beginning of this season with the captain's armband and Mings and all of that other stuff that was going on. And I do feel like Aston Villa have bounced massively. I think if you look at the fixtures, they also look highly investable for the next few weeks and they're cheap. So that was part of the reason for going with Luca Dean and with Tyrone Mings. You know, they both have some attacking threat. They both have potential for clean sheets over the next few weeks. Now, I don't think they will against Leeds get a clean sheet. But going forward, Leeds aren't solid defensively either. You could see, you know, Ollie Watkins popping up with something. Buendia, who really impressed me
Bailey
against
Spurs.
Bailey as well. Yeah, there's some definitely some players there that you can have a little look at Villa. And particularly if, you know, if you're trying to save budget, Kelly, because you want to get Harry Kane in, why not take a look at one of those cheap options?
Are you going to persuade me to bring in a Villa defender over a Man City defender here?
Unlikely. Because John Stones plays
twice.
But, you know, I think if you were looking to swap out a midfielder, say you had a really expensive midfielder who you didn't want anymore and you wanted to take the money from midfield and put it in the forward line, then maybe looking at Buendia, Bailey is a decent option.
The next three for Villa are really nice as well. Leeds at home, then Southampton away, then Leicester at home, before they've then got a couple of tricky games against City and Arsenal. But I guess you guys have bought them in for the next three, really.
Yeah.
And they can be benched for City and Arsenal because they're cheap.
And Mings is 4.3. That's why I brought him in, because that's the only money I had and I was looking for someone who would...
If you had the extra 0.3, would you have done Dina instead?
No.
And he's only saying that because Mings has got the assist.
And Ding is one of my boys as well, Paris born and bred. But now that they've signed Alex Moreno from Betis, Ding is not going to play anymore.
That worries me quite a bit.
Yeah, already if you have Ding, just think about selling at some point because very soon he's not going to play.
I'm not going to play him this week anyway. So it is a problem though.
He's going to be a 1 week wonder for you, isn't he?
Well, a wonder that didn't do anything either.
So wonder.
A 1 week.
How many did you get?
Flop.
One, two,
he got two.
Big point.
It's really annoying. The Tim Ream thing's really annoyed me.
I can tell.
I'm really angry about Tim Ream. Should have just gone there, shouldn't I?
Okay, so we've pointed out Villa and Newcastle as two teams. And of course, we spoke about Brighton before and their game against Liverpool being an interesting one. Anyone else we shouldn't ignore this game week? They only play once.
I would just add something to Brighton, because there's a player that I really like who's a huge differential in Kaoru Mitoma, who I think is an amazing player.
I wish I'd gone for him over Trossard.
I know.
Someone 100%. Told me to go for him over Trossard. And I was like,
was
it you?
No, it's Az. Az convinced
you. I can't believe you actually said his name on the
pod. I had to, because I saw him on Twitter being all happy this week because he's got plenty of players with double game weeks. I know he's listening, so yeah, we had to mention
Az. He told me to bring in Trossard, but then when I was doing it, I should have just listened to myself. My rank at that point was higher than him. I hope it still is, to be honest. But
it will be.
I went Trossard over Almiron, as we know. But he did, when we were having that conversation, he said, or if you wanted to save a bit of money, you could go for Mitoma. Oh, and I was like, why would I go for Mitoma when I'm not a Brighton fan? I watch Brighton, but I didn't know enough about Mitoma and
he's
what
been
we're
really
seeing
impressive.
Now.
Has been good.
Gosh, and if I had, it would have been so much better.
So owned by 0.8% of the game. So this is like the most differential you will ever get. 4.9 million, I think he's on. Has returned now in the last two or three, or maybe even more than that. And
lost two.
The last two. The World Cup was good for him, the minutes that he got and played. And he's a typical Brighton signing, to be fair. Nobody knew him from, he was playing at university in Japan 3 years ago. Then they loaned him to their parent club in Belgium, which he was already impressive, I thought, with Union Saint-Gilloise last season, before bringing him back and then just slowly under Potter or then under De Zerbi, just like bring him in into the team and giving him the time and everything to adapt and to understand what he had to do. And now he's just, every time he touches the ball, something can happen. And I think at that price, in a midfield that we said, you can go for a big name like KDB or Salah, or you've got all those options at 8 million that we mentioned, the Martinellis and et cetera, et cetera, Saka, et cetera. Or then he's the category below. But I just think like soon, if you don't do it now, soon he's going to be really a must-have almost.
I do like McAllister as well though, in that Brighton midfield. You know, he's a World Cup winner, comeback full of confidence, comes off the bench in the FA Cup.
I was
going to
say at the weekend, wow.
Like, Zerbi said he would play him higher as well. Yeah. He used to play more as a just sitting in front of the back four. And Zerbi said after the game at the weekend that he was going to start to play higher up. So McAllister for sure.
I do think Brighton look like the team. I mean, and it's one of those, isn't it? Is going into a double game week. So you will go, oh, right, I must get someone who plays twice. But sometimes, and because Brighton have also got Liverpool, that you kind of go, well, I'll worry about that one next time. But I'm pretty sure that we're going to get to the end of, you know, the game week, and we're going to sit back and look at what happens in that Brighton-Liverpool game. Liverpool defensively, goodness, they are all over the shop. Like, I can't see a clean sheet for them. And, you know, I look at Mitoma, I look at McAllister, and I think those guys, they're informed, they've got confidence. Everything that Liverpool don't have defensively, they've got going forward. So they could be a team that we overlook now. And I think you're right, George. I think in a few weeks, everybody is going to have one of those Brighton midfielders.
I'm looking at their fixtures now and it's just a sea of green and grey on the
Liverpool,
FDR.
Yeah. So you can wait another week if you want and see what happens. But I agree with Sam, they can easily score against Liverpool.
Literally from game week 20, which is this week, after that, from game week 21 to game week 29, they don't have, according to the FDR, any difficult fixtures. Mm. Obviously, I know here comes the inner Premier League manager in me. No easy fixtures in the Premier League, but it's Leicester, Bournemouth, Palace, Fulham, Newcastle, tough admittedly, West Ham, Leeds, Man United also not a pink on the FDR. Maybe they should be going forward. And then Brentford. That's a nice run.
It's really nice. It's really nice. So, you know, you look at it and go, oh, definitely could invest in Brighton. Now, I can see a time where Pereira, who's been in everybody's FPL teams for the whole of the season, is no longer in everyone's FPL teams because our fifth midfielder slot becomes a Brighton asset.
Yeah.
Interesting. Brighton then, one to watch. Don't go near Leandro Trossard. Trust me.
No, keep him. Please keep him.
He's staying at the moment as my third sub because there's another five in my team to put out at the moment.
Okay. It can't be that bad. Like, what does your team look like for this week? It can't be this bad.
My team's going to be great.
You still haven't
I'm not telling you how many
31,
points I've got. No.
29?
But can I just say that I was 200,000 in the world. Then I used my wild card quite late on.
We did it together, didn't we?
Yeah, that didn't go very well. I was around 400,000 going into the break.
Yeah, and then Doha clearly like played with your brains and then...
Now...
She spent too much time with you in the world. Yeah, you got in her head, George.
It was that podcast we did in the same room. 880,000.
Oh, okay.
That's a fall
and
from
I
grace.
Generally, I always pretty much finish in the top 100,000.
So you've got time.
But it's just an uphill battle.
It is a climb now.
And
you know what you need? You need Mitoma.
Yeah. I went for differentials when I should have just carried on. I should have gone with the Almirons to keep the pace with everyone else. I lost my head a little bit and I'm paying for it, but hopefully I'll get back up there. Anyway, I didn't want to go into that. Thank you.
No, it was lovely.
The only way's up because recently the only way's been very much down. Captaincy. Are we all going Haaland?
I really want to go Rashford. Really want
I
to go
I feel like
Rashford.
Shona might go for Rashford because she's had one good experience.
I might join you with Rashford as well. Yeah.
It's the Palace game.
It is. And he's in such good form, even in the cup. Came on, looked electric, looks confident. And I went Rashford last week and it came off.
Yeah. And he's had the rest in the cup, right? I mean, I know he came on, but he's had a rest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something we should all be considering, actually, isn't it? Players that did have rests in the cup. So you're going to go Rashford. You're torn. Jules will do the opposite to what he tells us anyway.
There's no point in asking him. Have a dream.
I change my mind all the time on
Who
captain.
Who are your options on the table?
So Rashford is one. I trust Chona on this. Haaland is one. Kane is one. I trust Sam on this as well. So
you will not captain Kane against Arsenal in the North
you
London Derby.
You cannot captain Kane against Arsenal.
He scores against Arsenal all the time. He scores against City as well.
In these two fixtures last season, he got 12 and 13 points.
Yeah, exactly.
So that would be, if you captained him, that would be 50 points in Kane alone. That's why you've got to bring
him in. Don't start trying to get into my head.
I'm not
doing any more of these rogue decisions. I'm playing it safe.
Who is your captain then?
Haaland.
Okay.
I do think it's a question
I
this
don't
week.
Know, like,
the Rashford thing is in my head. That Palace game.
And he could have scored against Chelsea in his last league game.
Please don't do this
when
to
he
me.
Only got 2 points, Haaland. There was that. He didn't get much, but there was, I think, enough there. He could have, on another day, he could have maybe had one. But that game kind of like, I don't know. I think the United game is...
Oh, it's massive.
Yeah. So are we between those two then?
Yeah.
Haaland and Rashford, all of us?
I think the other thing that comes down to is, do you want a triple captain this week? Because double game week, it's normally...
Is it a viable option?
I mean, I was in the firmly no camp when it was just Man City and Spurs and there was a difficult fixtures and I was like, derby plus a game against Spurs, that's tough. Like, can I really go Haaland? Is he going to play both? Then the Premier League drops the beauty that was Manchester United versus Crystal Palace in there. And I was like, oh, hang on.
You're not going to triple...
Well, hang on.
Rashford.
Quite fancy triple. The form that Rashford is in right now.
They're going to beat Reading United in the next round of the FA Cup. So they will have another double game week at some point because they will still be in the FA Cup.
That's the thing, it's still quite early in the season.
It is early,
isn't it?
Exactly. And they might get another double game week with easier... Same for Haaland, by the way. Even in game week 23, the City fixtures are easier than those ones.
They are.
And also, given the way Haaland has returned points this season,
it just feels weird not to use your triple captainship on him. It's really weird, isn't it? Because I mean, I wanted to go Rashford last week. But I absolutely bottled it because of the fear of Haaland.
I know full well
what will happen going into game week 20 is I'll sit there all week and go, right, the armband will sit. It's on Rashford at the minute. It will sit on Rashford all week. And I'll get to Friday afternoon and I'll go, the deadline's coming. Oh, Captain Haaland. And that's inevitable because everyone will do the same.
Shona, did you have any temptation of the trio? I love how cool, calm and collected Shona is. She's made her decisions.
For you.
She's not going to be...
They're ruthless.
She's not going to be changed.
No, I think there could be a bit of double game week hype.
Oh, there always is. Yeah,
and I just think Man City have got better fixtures in double game week 23, potentially for Haaland then. Rashford, not yet for the triple captain.
The only thing is, because it's two hard games, will he play both? And therefore... Like if he gets two easy games in a double, then we worry more about Man City.
That's true.
But the thing is, City also are making up a gap on Arsenal at this
point.
They cannot afford to drop
any points.
Particularly, I mean, in game week 23, they've got to play each other. Mm. That's such a big game.
And Pep would rotate. Alvarez will play in every League Cup, FA Cup game now like he did on Sunday against Chelsea. So.
It's crazy, isn't it? When you looked at that City team on Sunday and then I was just sitting just across from the City bench and you looked and you were like, how is that bench there? But still these players are on the pitch in front.
Winning 4-0.
It's bonkers, isn't it? Absolutely bonkers. Okay, so Shona's the only one that's given us any certainty on captain, I think.
Not a chance this week, sorry.
Yeah, but she's given us a decisive answer. You guys
will be sitting there
on Friday. It's a Friday deadline, don't forget. Because if you aren't decided, you need to decide a little bit earlier this week. The deadline is Friday, the 13th of January at 6:30 p.m. for game week 21. Okay, so we've done captaincy. I've done this backwards the way I usually do it because I was so interested in that captaincy debate. Transfers, I've said mine. Shona made her emotional transfer. No plans for any more?
I don't think so, but...
We've got in my head about
Trippier, but it's a big but. I don't like taking a -4 hit, so I probably will keep it as it is.
You can always get Trippier next week.
I could.
-4 for a defender always feels a little bit.
Mitrovic is back as well. Like, could you see Mitrovic scoring against Newcastle?
Hope so, because I've got him, which means probably not.
Probably not.
Sam, what about you and your transfers?
Mason Mount's going. The question is he Bruno Fernandes, is he Mahrez? That's my choice. I'm going with one of those two. I'm either buying a ticket to the lottery I'm praying for Samara's continued form, or I'm playing it safe and going with Bruno, but I really want to go Mahrez.
I would love to go Mahrez, but Trossard's sitting in my head. I'm not going rogue anymore.
I can see me having Mahrez by Friday's deadline.
Yes.
I love that Trossard is in your head.
He's on my shoulder constantly every time I make a decision. Yeah. Going,
it's like the elf on the shelf.
Remember when you were tempted by me? A differential. It's a bad time. Jules, what about your transfers? And Jules is loving it.
I'm very happy with my team. To be fair, I got more points than probably all of you combined this week again.
Mason Mount goes mental.
The free transfer to have two for the.
Are you serious?
One.
You're not going to make a transfer?
No, I'm very happy with the team.
How many have you got for the double?
Four. So I might be tempted, but then I need to work on it and everything. I need to wait on Diogo Dalot's fitness. And if it was just a precaution that he came off or against Charlton or not, and then I'll see. But I would be very happy if nothing changes. And you know, otherwise, I like the look of Mitoma that we mentioned before.
Just before we go, as we've been recording this podcast, Joao Felix has been announced as a player. So it feels apt that we should have a chat about him and what you think he's going to bring to Chelsea and potentially us in FPL.
Yeah, that's right. Let's wait to see how much he would cost you. For example, if you were a Joao Felix fan. By the way, Joao Felix, not Felix on his own. This is not right.
Okay.
I just need to stress it.
You've been very serious.
No, I did it for you. You did well.
But
for
he just
all
went
the
really
listeners.
Serious eyes at me.
What are you like?
Sorry, Jules.
Shona is new. And I didn't want to say anything about the Martial pronunciation. It's okay. But the Joao Felix is Joao Felix, not Felix.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Laurent.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
French lesson
there. Joao Felix, very interesting signing, I think. A very talented player, of course.
Yeah.
Is it what they need right now? I'm not too convinced. So
is he
going
what
to shine?
We need?
But that's the thing. It can't be what we need if he's in a team that is not really functioning or is not playing on his strength, because he's a very similar player in the sense that he wants the ball to his feet all the time, like Ziyech, like Mount, like Pulisic, like Havertz.
But half of those guys are injured.
I know, but the problem, what he will need is runners around him, for example, where then you get the best out of Joao Felix if there's a lot of movement around him, if he can play the ball over the top, for example, for another striker. So I'm waiting to see who else they sign, because I cannot believe they would just sign him and hope that he resolves all their problems. So I think for Joao Felix, let's wait a little bit, see how he settles, see who else they sign, because again, I cannot believe that it would just be him. I'm sure they have another forward or two in the pipeline to go with him to get the best out of Joao Felix. And then we can think about, you know, maybe bring him in.
You'll keep an eye on at official FPL on fantasy.premierleague.com to see the price of not Felix, but Joao Felix, and just how much he could cost you if you wanted him for your FPL teams. Well, that is all we've got time for today. Shona, thank you so much. You've provided like a much needed
calm
and collected head amongst the chaos that is the FPL pod.
Thank you so much for having me. I've absolutely loved it.
Good. Well, the very best of luck and good luck crawling up those leagues. We're hoping that now you're going to go up and it'll look like it was all because of us.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
I mean, it hasn't worked for me so far, but maybe it will for you. Sam and Jules, any games this weekend you're taking in?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the derby with this one. Apparently, he's going to weigh you.
I'll weigh for you.
Yeah. He won't. He always says it.
You say
he
waves.
No way.
Then it'll blank me.
I will. I know. I think I know where you sit now. So
I'll take a big sign.
I threw you my shirt at the end of the game. You know, like.
Well, do tune in next week to get all the fallout from the North London derby. Before then, though, we will have Off the Bench. That'll be on Monday, the 16th of January. We'll be back on Thursday. In the meantime, your deadline is Friday night, the 13th of January at 6:30 p.m. ahead of Aston Villa versus Leeds. So do not miss it. Set an alarm. Do whatever you need to. It's a big one. It's double game week 20. The very best of luck, and we'll see you next week.